folk theatre form from Kerala called the Theyam. Theyam was usually performed in villages where when there was an adversity or the village had to take a collective decision about something, people used to call people like this and they used to perform, and then there would be a prediction or some kind of an advice from. So these people go into a trance and then they kind of see some solution to the problem for the village or something of that sort. And then, so that was performed like that. The community used to give clothes for making the costume, for the paint and everything. Now it's more like a performance because they've come from Kerala to Pondicherry to perform, to show us what used to be. It used to be like, yeah.
So the guy in the costume would have a trance, kind of a vision.
Yes, yes.
But today he has no vision.
So this was just a trailer. Like, this is the first part. Usually it goes, it used to be a night-long program. So they start slowly, 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 and then it paces up, and then full big Theyam. The masks and all become very big. This is just a small mask. And then, I don't know, the next Theyam that's going to happen, I don't know what mask, what story it is, but this is just a small bit of it.
Any relation to Shiva?
I'm not well educated about that, you know, I'm not educated enough to answer that question. Okay. I'm just an enthusiast like you.
What's your role tonight?
I'm just enjoying myself. We are all organizing this together. So now we are going for a procession where all the women in the house, they dress up in white saris with the plate, with the lamps and everything, and a procession. We are led by the drum party to a procession, and then we come in and then we dance and the celebration is on.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. How old are you?
I'm 60.
60 years old. Wow. You don't look at
He's
at
my
all.
Son.
Is your son, real
yeah,
son?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all your sons, in a way.
He's a real son.
Wow.
Biological son.
He's from NIT K. Surathkar. He worked in HSBC.
Wow.
And his father going for MBA.
You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that before.
He's my son.
But you have very modest students with you. Really, right?
Like. Ways. Live frugal, just like Bodhidharma.
Live just frugal.
Just like Bodhidharma. Live simple. Think high. Do big things. But live. Because the external life doesn't matter. You should be identified by what you do rather than what you wear and what you sport and what you show. You should be known by your mind, not by your body.
Speaking of mind, my question, it's a repetitive question, probably you have heard this many times, but just a different version. So, like Kung Fu or martial arts, very little I know, but I think it requires a lot of mental strength when you go and do that, because, but what's your frame of mind, like when you're performing, when you're, or just doing it for yourself? So what, because you mentioned something like force is mass times acceleration.
Yeah.
So everything is in the acceleration. It's how you increase your velocity, right? Can you speak a little bit on that, like, and maybe you can tell a little.
First of all, like when I am performing, you ask me my feet, but I am breaking those objects.
Yeah.
Before my body breaks,
yeah.
Mind breaks.
Uh-huh.
I penetrate through that. Mind goes like anything. I just, it's for the training of mind that we are breaking. It's not actually for me to do it. My mind breaks. Hey, you have seen me, I'm breaking 8 tiles using my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At this age, you know.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to have a brain hemorrhage like some Muhammad Ali or something like that. My neurons supposed to get displaced. My cerebral cortex supposed to go out of control. But nothing. I'm
but how do you control?
Yeah, that's what.
How do you do it? What's the secret?
This is the martial art.
What
martial
is
art is this martial art is a misnomer. Martial art is a misnomer. Misnomer means wrong word.
Yeah.
It's not martial art. It's not martial. There is nothing like martial here. Kung Fu means it's a diligent and forceful method. I told you no. You were there in my lectures.
No. I just came in the.
The meaning of Kung Fu is Hatha Yoga.
Yeah, this is what he mentioned, your son, but
yeah.
I am still confused.
You see, in the book, I have produced it from the name, from the elements, from the practices, from the scriptures, tradition, everything is Hatha Yoga. What Bodhidharma took from here. That's a Buddhist Hatha Yoga. So here the mind, like when I go, like even when Bodhidharma went to Shaolin, he found the monks were not in a position to sit and practice meditation, Zazen. So he took Dhyana from here, went to China, it became Chan, went to Japan, it became Zen. So he gave these exercises not for fighting with somebody, but to make you to realize a sound mind in a sound body. A sound mind in a sound body. Generally we exercise our biceps, triceps, quadriceps, whatnot and all. Or we may exercise our cardio, we may do it. But how do we exercise our brain?
Yeah.
That's it, this is martial art. Right? So they divided into three bodies. Three bodies they have. One is Nirmanakaya, second one is Sambhogakaya, third one is Dharmakaya. The Nirmanakaya means your mortal body. Bone, flesh, limb, heart, lungs, whatever organs you have, this all comes under Nirmanakaya. Sambhogakaya means along with the sense organs, entire nervous system. Brain, your spinal cord and endocrine glands. Like what you have, pituitary, thalamus, hypothalamus, adrenal, these all things composite together is a Sambhogakaya. When Sambhogakaya experienced body minuses from you, the Nirmanakaya is in vegetative state. You say that you are biologically dead. Unless your Sambhogakaya activates, you can't experience. If your eyes you don't have, there is no visible world for you. You don't have ears, this all music is Totally.
So the senses. So it's,
these are the gates, and it is loading the information here.
Right.
Through the, I mean, 45 kilometers of nervous network spread across.
45 kilometers.
Kilometers of nervous network.
If you,
one of the lengthiest we have is called the axon that spreads from here to here. The axon. These are deep, like, because I am a psychologist too,
yeah,
apart from being a martial artist.
Yeah.
Now here what happens is, it is for the mind that, like, we are doing. We are not doing to beat somebody. It's a stupidity.
Yeah.
Absolutely absurd. Bodhidharma never found. He said that it is for the mind. It is to control the indriyas, means the sense organs. Right? It is to live a transcendental life.
Right.
A life which is beyond the common man's approach. See what cannot be seen. Listen what cannot be heard. Experience what cannot be experienced. Just now I was talking to a man that from, I think, other country. There are various brain components, forgetting about one brain. Within the brain you have a cerebellum, you have cerebrum, you have amygdala, you have hippocampus, you have cerebral cortex, left hemisphere, right hemisphere. How to work them? Like, if you see me at 60, I'm performing, it's all because of this.
But how... Why, where is the origin of these kind of, let's say, warfare? Like,
warfare is
there's
different.
There's still some fights. There is weapons.
Every country has a warfare, including Germany.
Yes.
Europe has, Chinese have, Indians.
Yes.
But a warfare, what Bodhidharma took, it was warfare with the spirituality,
mm-hmm,
with a different purpose is Kung Fu.
Yeah.
But every warfare is not like Kung Fu.
Yes.
Right? Kung Fu is different. It is a warfare. Warfare is very small in it. Like, you have a bigger table. In this you have this small mic. So in the bigger table of Kung Fu, the wushu element, the fighting element, is this small.
Just
small section.
But why do we need it?
Because it's degraded. It is deteriorated. Like in India now, in the name of Tantra, we are doing all nonsense.
Okay.
The original Tantra disappeared.
Yes.
Right? Now it became so commercial. The gurus are lost, the traditional gurus.
Yeah.
Bodhidharma had only one bowl, one weapon, and two pair of clothes, nothing else.
Yeah.
Even a king asked him, what can I give you? He said, nothing. You can't give me anything. What I want, you can't give. Because Bodhidharma wanted nirvana. Can a king give nirvana? King can give him half of kingdom.
Yeah.
But can he give nirvana?
No.
He said, you can't give me what I want. So king got puzzled. So what I want to tell you is, these all things, what we have, ancient tradition, certain things are eliminated.
Yes.
Eliminated. They become tokenism, you know, tokenism. Mm. If you have a teacher, a tokenism, oh, you have to do it. You have a thayam, oh, you have to just do like this. That involvement, that vigor, that dedication, that kind of tradition disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons, the increased materialism, the definitions of life changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now today martial art is a sport. Forget about even it's not martial art. Now it is a martial sport.
Yes.
Forgetting about spirituality, because man wanted to win medals. He want to earn money. He want to make something
of
good.
Of course, materialized.
You can't blame them, because everybody have their priority. My priority is, I am not a sportsman. I am an artist. I am spiritual man. I am not religious man. But I'm spiritual.
But why don't you call it then a spiritual art instead of martial art?
No, I don't call it martial art.
You don't call it
martial art? I don't call it.
What do you call it?
I call it as my silum.
What?
Silum.
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 Because silum became Shaolin.
Okay.
It's a root word, silum.
Silum.
Which became silambam.
How do you spell this word?
You get it in my book, entire thing. I have found the roots of Bodhidharma's footprints. He went from India. From India to Malacca Strait, to Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Java, Borneo, Vietnam, Cambodia. In all these places he had spread this art.
But the spelling of silum, if you can
tell. S-A-I-L-U-M.
S-I-L-U-M.
S-A-I.
S-A-I.
I-L-U-M.
Okay, thanks.
You find it in the book, like, if you properly get it. They may have one copy, just find out in there.
Yeah, if I get a free book, maybe I would love to read it. But I don't want to pay it from Amazon, but maybe I will. Yeah, I don't know.
You'll get it from Amazon.
Yeah.
Second volume is releasing within another 2-3 months.
Okay.
Now, this dealt totally 80% with Bodhidharma's history in China, 20% Indian side Bodhidharma history.
Okay.
Next volume is completely dealing with the Bodhidharma history in India. Nobody knows in the world, other than that he is from a Pallava and he is from Kanchi. There's nothing else known. But he lived almost close to 100 years in India. Recently, one Tamilian guy made a movie on Bodhidharma.
experience.
Yeah. You are from which state?
I was born in Delhi.
Delhi. There is a person called Murugadas, very popular director of southern India. With Surya, very top actor. Okay. He made a Seventh Sense movie. You can get it in this now. I have protested and put a PIL against him. I made Amir Khan to stop this movie. I was the person. You can find it in the news, in the CNN IB. You type my name and Seventh Sense, you get the whole news. I fought, I said that you have distorted the history, I won't accept it. You put a disclaimer, allows. Just put a disclaimer. If you put a disclaimer, it's fine. Like you can show even a Bodhi Dharma as Michael Jackson, I don't mind.
But if
this is the book. If you say that it is a history and try to pass it on, showing the wrong things, we want. There are historians sitting here, we won't accept. Otherwise, justify what you are showing. So things are like that. So as you said, mind, it's a supreme organ. The most powerful muscle in the body. One life. If you don't master this mind, we are wasting away our life.
Yeah, isn't it?
Only one life. We are wasting away our life. Going behind gymnasiums, pumping muscles. Going behind business and making audience and then just going behind the machinery, building the big buildings.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, that which is the you, and that is only the one which can give you either nirvana, moksha or kaivalya or emancipation, that is totally neglected. That can determine whether you are a sweeper or a prime minister. That can make you whether you are an IITian or a loafer.
Yeah.
That such a beautiful organ is neglected.
Yeah.
That is the business of Bodhi Dharma. His only business is mind. It's a mind culture. Zen is mind culture, nothing. It has no religion. It's just mind. He says all gods, goddess, everything resides in that. Whole world resides in the mind. When the mind switches off, there is no world for you. Maybe world for others. Where is your world? It's gone. Your world is as long as your mind is there. That mind, playing game with that mind. Your conscious, your subconscious, your intraconscious, your supraconscious. How do you manipulate such a beautiful mind? If you live for 100 years, at least 30 years is gone in sleep. We don't know in this 30 years what is happening inside. There is a book by a Westerner, I don't recollect his name, A Dream Within a Dream. You don't know whether now you are dreaming or you are in awakened state.
A Dream Within a Dream. That's the name of the book.
It's a dream within a dream. This is a dream, passing away dream. You don't know what you are. When you sleep, that is a truth. When you are this, this is truth. Where is truth?
What is the truth?
It is a slippery. It's a tragedy.
Edgar Allan Poe.
So when you turn philosophical, these are all the problems. This intrigues you, it troubles you. You build a kind of inquest, and these are your inquiry. You wanted to find something new light, and there is nothing wrong, because it's one life. Why don't you find the truth? And religious people, they try to blind you. They won't tell you the truth. They manufacture truth and serve you. They say, he is God, this is statue, worship it. You get it. But if you question that, why, where, how, then you will be another John of Arc, or you will be Socrates who is poisoned, or you will be a Galileo who was threatened. In every part of world, the religion and the priest are the one that who kill the intellect. Socrates was poisoned.
Yeah.
Aristotle was troubled. Galileo, to say that like the, it is not a geocentric but heliocentric world, he circulated his letter 14 years secretly because he's scared of church. Right?
Yeah, religion is dangerous. That's true.
Spirituality is beautiful. But when spirituality is structured, it becomes religion. Anything structured in this life is bad. When you say discipline, your military is structured, it is bad. When you say spirituality, structured religion, it is bad. When a feeling for your land structured as patriotism, it is bad. Anything that is structured, a relationship when it's structured as a marriage, it's bad. In a free relationship, you are like a free bird, you have wings. Here the wings are clipped. You function within a frame. And where is liberty?
The mind needs the structure.
Not mind never reads. It is the brain requires, not mind. Mind is different. Brain is different. Brain requires. Brain is the culprit. It requires. The intellect is the culprit, not intelligentsia. Intuition. intelligence don't require, knowledge requires the structure. Knowledge are the people. But we wanted more freedom. The mystics, the intelligentsia, they want to fly away. They want to get rid of all the anchors. They want to let loose themselves. Think in a freedom. If you ask the clouds to march in one straight line, if you say the clouds all should be square or round, if you say the rivers to flow in straight line, if you say the pine tree to grow in only one line, how can it be possible? That's that is, you call it as an imposed discipline on the society. The pine wanted to go the way it grows. The river takes its own course. The clouds have their own trajectory. Beautiful it is, the world. That is the Zen, an asymmetrical symmetry. A formless form. Irreligious religion. Speech in silence. You know, that's a Zen.
Becomes paradox. But
paradox.
You
but it's true. There is nothing paradox.
You have disciples, right? You have pupils that you teach.
Teach. So yeah, they're all my disciples.
So for your teaching, you also use some structure, don't you?
While giving a structure, I give freedom.
How? How is it possible?
It's possible because, like, I take his hand and I make him walk.
Yes.
I leave him.
Okay.
And he walks now. That's what Bodhidharma. There is a metaphor. Bodhidharma showing his finger to moon. Bodhidharma, important, showing his finger the path. But the path is yours, walking is yours, experience is yours, reaching to moon and nirvana is yours.
I see. So I can't show the door and
that's
I go through.
I show them the path. Mm-hmm. Freedom is given. Like everyone have their own definitions according to their own understandings. I can't structure it.
Okay.
But I can speak like this. I'm talking to you and telling you that you have freedom. Not understood. I'm asking you not to follow me. I'm saying that don't follow me.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that question yourself. Question the system before following anything. Even question me. Is it wrong?
I think it's a good advice.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
that's
question.
What Buddha said.
Yeah.
Buddha is one of the greatest thing. Why I liked it. Most of the religions today, I don't want to name anything. But either they said they are sent by God, they are the son of God, and various avatara concept of incarnations. But when Buddha was about to die, Parinirvana Sutra, so many republics came to see him before dying. He gave his last speech. People requested him, are you a god? Are you sent by God? Are you relative of God? Do you have anything to do with God? He said, nothing. I am a simple human being. I have nothing to do with God. I am like any one of you. He is one of the founder of any religion who said, I am not a god. Apart from that, what else I liked more beautifully from Buddha? He said, my teachings are transient, not eternal. Not eternal.
So they don't stay rigid, they transform.
I mean to say, he said, my teachings are only applicable for some people at some time, at some place.
Okay.
Not for all people, all the time, all the place.
So they have to be rewritten.
Marx said same thing. So Marx, yeah. Marx also took inspiration from Buddha.
Okay.
He said, to cross this world ocean, what you have, samsara, we call it in our, samsara means the worldly, mundane world, whatever troubles you have. You take my teachings, like how you use a boat for crossing a river. After crossing river, don't carry the boat over your head. Discard it. Discard my teachings, he said. You use it as just only a
tool.
Yes.
It's a very brilliant and daring idea, you know. You need to have guts to disassociate your own thing, what you created.
Yes.
People have that longing.
But you can only do that if you take out your own ego.
Yeah.
When
you kill your aham.
I can.
Very in a simple word, you said.
Yeah.
When you don't have the attachment with aham, ego, a self. That's why he's called Tathagata. Means thus positive. After enlightenment, he's like a living dead.
Yes.
He has no desire. They sent one elephant over him to kill. He said, kill me.
So do you think you are enlightened?
No, I'm not. But in the mind culture, I advanced to certain things. Like in the mind culture, I have experienced a stage called Bhairava.
What
means
is Bhairava?
When you do meditation, you have a stage called conscious unconscious. Not understood. Like either you are conscious or you are unconscious. Like when you are sleeping, you are unconscious. but you are not conscious. Mm-hmm. But when you are sleeping, you are conscious and dreaming.
Yes.
Can you achieve it?
It happens by itself.
No, it's by at your will. Can you, if you can induce it, then
you
are reached.
Sleep anytime you want.
Not a question of sleeping. Now I am meditating. Mm. I enter into trance, but with conscious. Mm. When you are when you enter into trance or sleep, in your brain, from particular cerebral cortex, there is something called reticulus formation that pulls a curtain. You slip from conscious to unconscious. Afterwards, there are various mechanisms that comes into your act to put you into dream state or whatever. But the curtain is not pulled. You are completely conscious, but you are in trance. This is called the Bhairava, a state in either in Shaolin or in Hatha Yoga.
So how do you reach that? Like you meditation. Said meditation.
For years.
Maybe you can give some, like how do you meditate? What's your style of meditation?
No. If you stick to one style of meditation, you are activating only one part of brain.
No, but what is your style of meditation?
I do many types of meditations because you have to do samatha. You have to do vipassana, you have to do bodhidharma style of meditation. One meditation
yes.
tightens your mind.
Yes. Mm.
One meditation liberates your mind.
Yeah, Simon?
Mm. One meditation penetrates your mind.
When you go to a gym, you do it for triceps,
you do for biceps. You can't say that only I'll do for quadriceps and I'll leave my upper body. Mm. Inner brain, you have cerebral cortex,
you have the red mask, you have the hypothalamus, you have the pituitary,
you have so many components, you have exercise, everything. Like memory exercise, long-term memory, hippocampus, explicit, implicit memory, right? Your analytical memory, left hemisphere, right hemisphere, it's a big ocean. You have a universe within you. And if we neglect that particular thing, so a certain stage, I don't say I'm enlightened enough, but certain states of mind I have achieved. One is that Bhairava, second one is it is connected with that. I can induce my dream. At will. If I wanted a certain dream, I can produce it at my will. These two things, with this many years of my practice.
Mr. Raghu?
Yeah, nice meeting
thank you.
What's
thank
your
you
good
for
name?
My name is Thomas.
You're in
Thomas
Germany? Where do you
Berlin.
Huh?
Berlin. Yeah.
I have a friend in Munich. We have two. One, Ben was from where? He used to play Hollywood lead guitar. He came to me and practiced yoga and went. Very funny, guy. Six months he stays in Germany and does farming. Another 6 months he go and play the lead guitar. And another professor from the Munich is, what is his name? He came and stayed with me. He is an anthropologist, PhD from there. Phillips.
Information.
Oh,